I don't know, Ryan. It's just really hard for me to think that a smartphone is needed for outdoor safety.
I don't know if I even would have played outside if I had a smartphone.
Right. Because these ways that he lists that they're needed for like flashlight or GPS or calling 911. I know, I think back to my childhood. I don't even remember a time when any of those were needed. Like a flashlight, I just went home when the lights came on. Did you ever need a flashlight?
Oh, yeah. Many times.
Really?
Playing outside, there was several times where we had to find something. I remember one time when we were out camping as a group of friends, and we couldn't figure out how to get the tent closed. And it was in the middle of winter, and we just ended up leaving the tent open because we didn't have a light to figure it out.
And so you survived it.
We survived it. I woke up with snow on my feet, but we survived it.
You didn't die.
Didn't die.
And what about, I mean, calling an emergency? I'm sure I probably would have benefited from calling my mom to tell her I was somewhere, but calling 911?
Oh, yes. We had to call 911 several times.
What?
I can think of one time in particular when a friend of mine and myself, we witnessed a fire out in the woods and we needed to call the fire department to come put it out.
So what'd you do?
We ran home really fast.
Welcome to the Brave Parenting Podcast, an examination of the Bible and how parents can apply God's word to raising children in a culture saturated with media and technology. Well, hello, everyone. Kelly Newcomb here. So glad you've joined me today as part two of our series of 10 podcasts where I am going to biblically counter some of the secularly stated benefits of kids owning smartphones. Are these touted benefits actually beneficial? And are they biblically aligned with what we know to be true for Christian discipleship? Well, last week I gave an introduction. I highly recommend starting there because I explained how the secular world and especially tech advocates promote childhood smartphone use and really why I believe they push for a sort of exposure therapy where kids are desensitized to online content and persuasive design from an early age. I also explained how, as Christian parents, our approach to online media and technology cannot be pragmatic. We don't want to allow devices and apps and platforms just because they are efficient and effective ways to get what we want right this moment. No way, right? Our approach must be biblical. So we want to look at what the Word of God says about discipleship, about stewardship, faithfulness, and trusting the Lord our God. Because technology is ever changing. We cannot keep up with it. But the Word of God is unchanging and eternal. Psalm 119:89 says, "Your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens." And that is our sole foundation that we are going to stand on in this digital age. But because everything and everyone around us seems to believe what the tech advocates are saying, in the spirit of 1 Thessalonians 5:21, we are going to test everything so that we can reject what is evil and wrong and hold on to what is good and true, right? So let's jump in. I think this is one of my shorter podcast responses because I think this benefit is actually pretty easy to refute. So again, I'm citing from Peter Gray's 9 benefits for kids owning smartphones. And he says, number one benefit is outdoor safety. He writes, quote, "The smartphone is an amazing safety device. In an emergency, you can call 911 or home. If you are lost, it can show you where you are and how to get home. If you are out after dark, it's a flashlight. Kids playing and roaming freely outdoors are much safer with a smartphone than without." Okay, now I want to start each benefit evaluation with what we can affirm that is true. And it is true that a smartphone can serve as a tool for emergencies. Smartphones, right? Like all technology, is a common grace of God. Just as the Lord causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on, you know, on the righteous and the unrighteous, which is Matthew 5:45. He also gives internet access and smartphone access to both the righteous and the wicked. So yes, we can affirm that the smartphone can be used as a tool for safety. Peter Gray specifically, however, he refers to outdoor safety, and he is a big proponent of outdoor play, or at least I feel he is at times. I'll be honest, I read a ton of his content going back decades, and there were many times that he promotes this autonomous, free-roaming outdoor play, even really starting at age 4. And there's other times where he heralds the advancement of online video games because it gives children a place to play when parents stop letting kids go outside. So it seems a little contradictory, but overall, his main through line is that he opposes over-controlling, or what he calls, you know, helicopter parenting, and this modern culture of safetyism. You know, he argues that the overprotection of kids and the elimination of risky, unsupervised play, that is what's driving the decline in children's mental health, independence, and competence. He says the goal for children is to grow in independence, to be less dependent on their parents as they grow up. So thus, right, overprotecting in the name of safety limits the child's ability to become independent. Okay, so I think that that's fair enough. But again, he cites outdoor safety as one of the major benefits of smartphone ownership. So it's like, parents, you cannot be the safety net, but your smartphone can be. Right? Parents, you cannot go everywhere with your kid, right? Lest they never learn to be independent. But the smartphone, that can go with them everywhere. And the question, of course, is will they still learn independence? Or will the dependence just shift from the parents to the smartphone, right? Now let's consider this biblically. We already know, at least we should know, that parents, we are called to be the child's primary disciple maker, right? And we bear the responsibility for our children's upbringing. I don't think I have to rehash the scripture verses here. So let's consider this from a different aspect, right? Scripture does not forbid the use of tools, but scripture does separate ends from means, right? If a tool's end is detrimental to a person's soul, well, that means that that tool is not wisdom. Using that tool is foolishness because scripture commends prudence. Proverbs 22:3, the prudent sees danger and hides himself, but the simple go on and suffer for it. So here's what I really want you to notice is that prudence is not a device. Prudence is a formed habit. It is a virtue. And if we want our kids to be safe outdoors, you know, away from our watchful gaze, the primary goal is not to give them this high-powered device as a safety net. The primary goal for us should be to train them to see danger, to make wise decisions, to respond appropriately. Not to just give them a smartphone that sort of solves all of their problems for them. So that training and teaching means that we talk about things like time boundaries and daylight boundaries, you know, that old mantra of, you know, you come home when the streets light come on. The idea of staying with a friend, not venturing into the woods, you know, by yourself. What to do when you're lost, right? How to ask for help from a safe adult, how to recognize who a safe adult would be, you know, when to come home, how to make sure that you are telling time and keeping track of time, how to avoid risky situations that maybe they're not prepared to handle, because it's like, hey, you don't have a phone, so you can't be doing anything that you're going to need an emergency contact. Right? To me, that's real safety. And when children apply this, it teaches that child that necessary responsibility and independence. right? It's not the tool in their pocket that's doing all of the work. It's them, right? Successfully and safely navigating the world on their own. And because they're doing it on their own, they realize they're capable and they then gain confidence. But tech advocates like Peter Gray tend to minimize the outsourced work that inherently builds character, right? All in the name of like freedom or convenience. But in reality, having that smartphone is neither freedom, it is convenient, but it isn't freedom. And taking on all those tasks that we naturally learn during childhood that builds confidence is detrimental to them. Not only that, the examples that Peter Gray gives for like sort of undergirding this benefit of outdoor safety are narrow. He says a flashlight, GPS, and 911. We all know, however, that a smartphone is never only a flashlight. A smartphone is an internet-connected portal to entertainment, social pressure, strangers, persuasive design, video games. When you give a child a smartphone for outdoor safety, you also give the world access to your child, not just your child access to you. Similarly, a smartphone is never just GPS navigation. I'm going to talk about that a lot in the next podcast. Nor is it ever just a phone. It's everything in one. Especially to children, it becomes that all-knowing, all-powerful, and ever-present master. It's their little g God in their life. Now, scripture gives us a category for this. 1 Corinthians 6:12 tells us, all things are permissible for me, but not all things are beneficial. The Apostle Paul then says, I will not be mastered by anything. And the smartphone is permissible, right? We know lots of kids have them. Some kids do very well with them, but the majority do not, because it's not always beneficial. It is often dominating. It often masters them. And giving a smartphone under the banner of outdoor safety actually may end up being the catalyst of them being mastered by the phone, because the phone is designed to be their master. It is designed to capture their attention, to be the master kind of their mind and change their behavior. That's what persuasive and personalized design is. And the irony of it all is that outdoor safety device in a smartphone becomes the very reason why kids remain indoors, isolated, and consuming content on that smartphone. Now, Peter Gray would argue that kids learn the most when they self-direct their own activities. This is why he advocates for no screen time rules, because he truly believes that children will learn. As long as they're choosing what they're doing themselves, they're going to learn, you know, that maybe indoor isolation, scrolling TikTok or Instagram for 12 hours a day is bad, and then they'll learn to do something else. But if they're directed on what to do, then they're not going to learn because they're being forced to do something. Well, my only question is, have we seen this play out in Gen Z? I mean, these are the kids who parents had no idea the dangers of smartphones and social media and all of that in the early 2010s. And they all got smartphones, they all got social media. And I just don't know if what he's saying is true. I've not seen there be so much learning. I mean, definitely some. There's a lot of Gen Z who are pulling back, going more analog, and they have. But overall, I don't know if that's generally a good rule to abide by. Another tension in Peter Gray's logic is that he ardently opposes this helicopter parenting and this constant adult supervision of children, right? He wants children and believes that children need to be able to grow up in independence away from parents. And I can agree that constant controlling parenting is not healthy, and that yes, for sure, children need to grow in maturity and responsibility. There is a level of managed risk of letting kids do things on their own that is really beneficial. But the problem, again, is that a smartphone does not necessarily produce independence. Again, it often shifts dependence from the parents to the device. And dependence on a device, on the internet, or on an app, that's no independence at all, right? Because a child learns, I don't need to pay attention to where I'm walking and going, right? I've got my phone. I don't need to plan ahead. I don't need to remember. I don't need to solve problems. I don't need to learn stuff in school, right? I just need my phone. The smartphone becomes, again, the all-knowing, all-powerful, ever-present little g God. It is their master. It is what they obey. So I think another biblical correction that we can point out is that safety is not the highest goal in Scripture. Faithfulness is the highest goal, right? Not safety. Scripture does not tell us to eliminate or avoid all risk, but it doesn't say that we shouldn't take any, right? It tells us to pursue wisdom and faithfulness, courage, and self-control. And more than that, I think it's real. This is so important, especially in today's culture of hopelessness and so often victimhood. But Scripture tells us that trials and difficulties, sufferings, not all of that is not without meaning. It all has purpose. It's always doing something. Romans 5, 3 through 4. We also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. And if we want our kids to have hope, then they need to walk through some trials. They need to have some difficulties in their life. They need to come out on the other side of a hard challenge and feel capable and confident. And I really am convinced that the things done online, the virtual challenges in a video game or navigating group text drama, it's just not the same confidence-building, independent experiences that our kids need. It's not building the same character, and it's certainly not building the same hope. I often wonder if the hopelessness that so many young people feel is because they're not having to persevere real trials, real sufferings. And if they're not having that opportunity, is it because the parents are sheltering them from it? Because they're at home, safe in their rooms, but just scrolling online. Now, I know this does not mean, of course, that we throw our kids into danger and we, you know, just allow them to suffer without reason, right? But we do teach wisdom. We train them to be responsible. We reiterate basic safety rules and guidelines, and then we let them grow through age-appropriate challenges. It's not just about keeping them physically safe. We also have to remember it's about protecting their soul, right? Because we're raising disciples. We're not merely protecting bodies from cuts, scrapes, broken bones, or hurt feelings. I don't think Peter Gray meant for this benefit to land this way, but I do also think that his claim of the benefit of outdoor safety comes across as well to a lot of parents as an emotional argument that says, like, hey, if you don't give your kid a smartphone when they're out of your sight, right, then you're endangering your child, right? That smartphone is going to keep them safe. That GPS where you can track them, that's going to ensure that they stay alive, right? Or, you know, if you don't give them a smartphone, then you aren't setting them up for success later in life. And because, as we're going to see in a couple weeks, Peter Gray believes the smartphone is the greatest educational tool ever invented, right? But this emotional argument is a lie. It's the same lie that is told to parents about tracking the location, right? That you have to, or you're not loving, or you're not protecting them, that somehow you're cruel because you are not in constant control. But we have to remember that just because a tool exists to make life easier or more convenient doesn't mean it is beneficial, especially for Christian discipleship, right? So here is my brave parenting conclusion for benefit number one, outdoor safety. For kids ages 5 to 15, because that's the ages we're focusing on, outdoor safety is not a sufficient reason to provide a child a smartphone. There are other more narrow tools that can meet legitimate needs without importing this larger spiritual and psychological risk of having access to a smartphone all of the time. If your child truly needs an emergency contact, consider, you know, a basic smartwatch or a kind of kid-safe phone that has limited access, or just a phone that they only use, you know, it's like really limited and they only take it with them in those times and places where they're going to need that emergency contact. Remember, the goal is not just survival of the fittest and the safest. The goal is faithfulness and God-fearing children, because that's the beginning of wisdom, is the fear of the Lord. So now let me leave you with a few things to think about, right? Because I'm doing these podcasts because I want to challenge your thinking. I want you to begin just thinking more biblically about maybe some of the beliefs that you may have had about the benefits of kids having smartphones. So ask yourself, am I equating a device with prudence instead of training my child to be prudent? Am I trying to eliminate all difficulty from my child's life? Or am I allowing those difficulties to help my child grow in competence and courage? And if I have given a smartphone for safety already, is that device now making my child less free, less independent, less present, less joyful, and more mastered? And if that's you and you find yourself there, remember, there is no shame or blame for maybe what you didn't know or what you might have believed, because this is the message that the world is sending parents. But maybe you have allowed the phone and you don't have any regrets and you feel like the smartphone does truly keep them safe. And that's okay too. But I do urge you, in light of so many, not only teens, but so many adults being mastered by their phones, to truly and honestly pray for eyes to see whether or not your child is being mastered by the device. And if you come to see that they are, you need to act decisively and swiftly, right? Because spiritually, that is the most unsafe place your child can be, right? Physical safety means nothing if Satan has captured your child's heart. Now, I know these are tough questions to wrestle with, but it is so important that we do this heart searching. So I am praying for all of you this week as you do. So join me next week as we evaluate and biblically counter benefit number two of kids' smartphone ownership, and that is navigation. Thank you so much for listening. Until next week, go and be brave.